March forth whether you are light or heavy and strive hard. Jahidu. Strive hard with your wealth and your lives in the cause of Allah. Do something for Islam. Let's not just fritter our lives away, caught up by our jobs, caught up by our careers, by our marriages, by our spouses. Let's do something for Allah. So we have something for us on the Day of Judgment. This is better for you, if you but knew. We're not conferring a favor upon Allah by studying this Quran. The only favor we're doing is to ourselves. Had it been a near gain and an easy journey, they would have followed you. But the distance was long for them and they would swear by Allah. If only we could, we would certainly have come forth with you. They destroy their own selves and Allah knows that they are liars. Now this refers to the fact that when the Muslims were setting forth on the Battle of Tabuk, it was a distance of 600 miles. It was the time for reaping and it was a battle against Romans. In other words, it was an unknown foe and in intense heat. So the obstacles were many. So many of the hypocrites, you know, would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with false excuses and say, please excuse me and I can't go for this reason. May Allah forgive you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did you grant them leave until those who told the truth were seen by you in a clear light and you had known the liars? And this is Allah's loving way of addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you should not have excused the hypocrites. You should have let them expose the hypocrisy, because only those people were coming forward who were too scared to go and fight against the Romans. Those who believe in Allah in the last day would not ask your leave to be exempted from fighting with their properties and their lives. And how calmly and how complacently have we abandoned jihad today? And we don't even feel worried or guilty about it. Look at Allah's words. Those who believe in Allah in the last day would not ask your leave to be exempted from fighting with their properties and their lives. And Allah is the all-knower of those who are Allah conscious. It is only those who do not believe in Allah in the last day and whose hearts are in doubt that ask your leave to be exempted from jihad. So in their doubts they are restless. And if they had intended to march out, certainly they would have made some preparation for it. But Allah was averse to their being sent forth, so He made them lag behind. And it was said to them, sit you among those who sit at home. Had they marched out with you, they would have added to you nothing but disorder. And they would have hurried about in your midst, spreading corruption and sowing sedition amongst you. And there are some among you who would have listened to them. And Allah is the all-knower of the wrongdoers. Indeed, they had plotted sedition before and had upset matters for you until the truth came and the decree of Allah became manifest, even though they hated it. And among them is he who says, grant me leave to be exempted from jihad and put me not into trial. Surely they have fallen into trial. And indeed, hell is surrounding the disbelievers. If good befalls you, it grieves them. But if a calamity overtakes you, they say, we took our precaution beforehand, and they turn away rejoicing. Tell them, nothing shall ever happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. This is true fearlessness. This is the liberation granted by La ilaha illallah. That whatever I do in Allah's path, I need not be afraid of anyone, because whatever Allah has destined for me, only that can befall me. Huwa maulana. He is our protector, and in Allah let the believers put their trust. Say, do you wait for us anything except one of the two best things, martyrdom or victory, while we await for you either that Allah will afflict you with a punishment from Himself or at our hands. So wait, we too are waiting with you. Tell them, spend in Allah's path, willingly or unwillingly, لَنْ يُتَقَبَّلَ مِنْكُمْ. It will not be accepted from you. When we are reluctant to obey Allah, when we give sadaqat grudgingly, we need not think that Allah needs those sadaqat. Allah will not accept them. Indeed, you are a people who are disobedient to Allah. Why are their sadaqat not being accepted? Does that seem cruel? Allah tells us, nothing prevents their contributions from being accepted from them, but that they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. And we all know of the satanic kufr when we disobey Allah and His Messenger. وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَّالَىٰ. They come not to prayer except lazily. Now this is very frightening. They do pray. It's not that they're not praying, but they pray languidly, reluctantly. All right, I'm just getting up. There's still lots of time left. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, "Tilka salatul munafiq." Such is the prayer of the hypocrite. When he waits for the sun to set at the last time, he pecks at the ground like a rooster. You keep on looking out. There's still time for us. And suddenly you get up and hysterically read your prayer. He pecks at the ground like a rooster and he does not remember Allah at all. Allah doesn't need our meaningless ritual. Allah doesn't need us to just bang our head to the ground a couple of times and think we've done our duty. لَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَىٰ. Let's analyze how we read our prayers. As a burden, reluctantly, or with joy and ecstasy. And they come not to salat except lazily, and they do not offer contributions but unwillingly. Oh, everyone's looking, I'd better give something. So let not their wealth or their children amaze you. In reality, Allah's plan is to punish them with these things in the life of this world, and their souls shall depart while they are disbelievers. They swear by Allah that they are truly of you while they are not of you, but they are a people who are afraid. The hypocrite spends his life in fear. The majority of the Muslim Ummah is also living in fear. Why? Because we ourselves have let our courage depart from us by fighting amongst each other and not caring about the rest of the Muslims. Should they find a refuge or caves or a place of concealment, they would turn straight away thereto with a swift rush. And of them are some who accuse you in the matter of the distribution of the alms. If they are given part thereof, they are pleased. But if they are not given thereof, behold, they are enraged. Would that they were contented with what Allah and His Messenger gave them and had said, Allah is sufficient for us. Allah will give us of His bounty, and so will His Messenger. Inna ila Allahi raghibun. We turn to Allah, imploring Him. Now the next ayat is a very important ayat because it tells us those who are deserving of zakat. Innama as-sadaqatu lil-fuqara. Indeed, as-sadaqat are for the poor and for the needy and those employed to collect the funds and to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined towards Islam, to free the captives and for those in debt and for Allah's cause and for the traveler, a duty imposed by Allah. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. Now first we need to understand that sadaqat has a dual meaning. There are two kinds of sadaqat. One is a nafli sadaqah. When you voluntarily give anything for Allah's sake, now this can be a smile that you're giving to a fellow Muslim, this can be a good word of advice that you're telling a fellow Muslim, this can be the morsel of food that you're putting in your child's mouth or you're putting in your spouse's mouth, this can be anything that you voluntarily give to anyone else. You know, if you're giving your mother a present and you're doing it for Allah's sake, or you're giving your friend a present and you're doing it for Allah's sake, this can all be called a sadaqah, provided we're doing it for Allah. Now there's a first kind of sadaqah, and that is zakat. Now Allah tells us that zakat can be given to fuqara. Who are the fuqara? The destitute, those who have nothing, starving. And then al-masakeen. Who are the masakeen? They are people who do have money, but not enough to meet their needs. As we say, the safed posh. And so Allah is teaching us sensitivity to those around us. Not that we should just say, look, oh, this is a starving beggar, I'll give all my zakat to him. No, look around. See that there be other people who are too proud to ask you, but still they need your help. وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. And those who are working to collect the zakat. In other words, people who are collecting the zakat, their salary too can be paid from the zakat. وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. In those days, the custom was that if they wanted to attract people towards Islam, they would sometimes give them zakat as well, to incline their hearts towards Islam. وَفِرْ رَقَابِ. And for freeing of slaves. Now you might say, well, there are no slaves nowadays. But we find other forms of slavery, such as bonded labor, you know, whereby a person has to slave the rest of his life just trying to pay off that crushing debt. So to free a person from bonded labor can also be done from our zakat money. وَالْغَارِمِينَ. Those who are in debt, we should help them out. وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And in the path of Allah, anything that is supporting the cause of Allah, whether a madrasa or for military jihad or for intellectual jihad. But we should know we cannot give zakat funds towards the building of a mosque. That's not allowed. وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ. And the traveler. Someone who's been traveling abroad or he's come to your country and he's out of funds. He has no one to turn to. We can give such a person from our zakat money as well. Now we need to know that zakat is only given to the Muslims. Now some people sometimes object and say, well, you know, our sweeper is starving and he's a Christian, so why can't we give to him? The simple logic behind this is that when zakat is taken from the Muslims, only the Muslims deserve it. And if we have servants who are Christians and who are needy, then we can give them a sadaqah because we learn that we will be rewarded for that as well. So it doesn't mean that the zakat is the only money that we're taking out throughout the year, so we just want to use that on, you know, everyone. Allah says, فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ. All this has been ordained by Allah. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah is all-knowing, Hakim, all-wise. And among them are men who heard the Prophet and say, he is lending his ear to every news. Say, he listens to what is best for you. He believes in Allah, has faith in the believers, and is a mercy to those of you who believe. But those who annoy Allah's Messenger will have a painful torment. They swear by Allah to you in order to please you, but it is more fitting that they should please Allah and His Messenger if they are believers. Do they not know that whoever opposes Allah and His Messenger... How do we oppose Allah and His Messenger? Every time we make fun of any sunnah, every time we make fun of any aspect of Islam, like people commonly deride those with beards and call them maulvis and things like that, they should know that they are in fact deriding the Prophet ﷺ. Know that whoever opposes Allah and His Messenger, certainly for him will be the fire of hell, to abide therein. That is the extreme disgrace. The hypocrites fear lest the chapter of the Quran should be revealed about them, showing them what is in their hearts. Qul istahzi'u. Tell them, go ahead and mock. But certainly Allah will bring to light all that you fear. We find that the Prophet ﷺ was granted knowledge by revelation of the hypocrites that were in Medina. And Allah also told him to withhold those names, not to make those names public. Why? Out of consideration for their believing relatives. If you ask them about this, they declare, we were only talking idly and joking. The hypocrites were always passing derisive comments about Islam. And if they were asked about it, they say, no, we were just joking. Say, was it at Allah and His signs and His messenger that you were joking? Make no excuse. You disbelieved after you had believed. That's how grave a crime deriding Allah's ayat is in His eyes. You disbelieved after you had believed. If we pardon some of you, we will punish others amongst you because they were criminals. And Allah tells us, المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض. The hypocrites, men and women, are one from another. They enjoin on the people all that Islam has forbidden and forbid people from all that Islam orders. Now let's think about our conversations. When we're talking to people, do we encourage them in doing good or are we busy telling them, no, you'll be too exhausted, don't do so much, don't burden yourself with more you can bear. Your children come first, your family comes first. You can read this Quran later on. You can read it in your own house. You don't need to go and learn. We need to think about it. If we're discouraging people from doing good, then we come amongst the hypocrites. And they close their hands from spending. Stingy. They have forgotten Allah, so He has forgotten them. Indeed, the hypocrites, humul fasiqun, they are the disobedient to Allah. What lies in store for them? Allah has promised the hypocrites, men and women, and the disbelievers, the fire of hell. Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The hypocrites will be in the lowest level of the hellfire. Why will they be even lower than the kuffar? Because they made a mockery of their deen. They pretended to believe, but in reality they were harming Islam. So that's why they will be in the lowest level of the hellfire. It will suffice them. Allah has cursed them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ. And for them is the lasting torment. Like those before you, they were mightier than you in power and more abundant in wealth and children. They had enjoyed their portion a while. So enjoy your portion a while as those before you enjoyed their portion. Sometimes when Allah has given us everything in this world and we think, I don't need to turn to Allah. I must be doing something right that Allah has given me so much. نَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah has warned us, both good times are a test for you and so are bad times. And you indulged in play and dispute, as they indulged in play and dispute. Such are they whose deeds are in vain in this world and in the hereafter. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Such people are the losers. Has not the story reached them of those before them? The people of Nuh and Aad and Samud, the people of Ibrahim and the dwellers of Madian and the cities overthrown. To them came their messengers with clear proof. So it was not Allah who wronged them, but they used to wrong themselves. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله. Now let's analyze ourselves. The believers, men and women, are supporters of one another. Islam has granted us complete equality. The Prophet ﷺ said, النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ. Women are the exact counterparts of men. We're supposed to play a complementary role for each other, supporting each other in what? In all that Islam orders, and forbidding all that Islam has forbidden. They establish salah, they give zakat, and they obey Allah and His Messenger. Do we do all these actions? We can all analyze ourselves. Allah will have His mercy on such people. Surely Allah is almighty, all-wise. Allah has promised the believers, men and women, gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever, and beautiful mansions in gardens of eternity. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. But the greatest bliss is the pleasure of Allah. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the supreme success. And what do we say? Oh, if Allah puts me in any level of Jannah, I'll be content. We should seek the best. We should strive for the highest. We should strive for the peaks of Jannah. We should strive for Allah's Ridwan. That is the supreme success. O Prophet, strive hard against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be harsh against them. Their abode is hell, وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And worst indeed is that destination. They swear by Allah that they said nothing bad, but truly they said the word of disbelief. And they disbelieved after accepting Islam, and they resolved that which they were unable to carry out, and they could not find any cause to do so, except that Allah and His Messenger had enriched them of His bounty. If then they repent, it will be better for them. But if they turn away, Allah will punish them with a painful torment in this life and in the hereafter, and there is none for them on earth as a protector or as a helper. Now this refers to two or three incidents that had happened. Once the hypocrites were chatting, and one of them said to a Muslim youth, if this is true, in other words, if this Quran is true, then we are worse than donkeys. On another occasion, the Prophet ﷺ had lost his camel, and that really proves that he was a human being. He did not have knowledge of the unseen. So they started jeering and said, look, on one hand he claims that he's a messenger of God and he doesn't even know where his camel is. And Muslims too pass, you know, foolish, blasphemous statements like that without caring. And a group of hypocrites had actually thought and planned that they were going to ambush and kill the Prophet ﷺ. So these are the incidents that are being referred to over here. Allah tells us, there is none for them on earth as a protector or a helper. And of them are some who made a covenant with Allah, saying, if He bestowed on us of His bounty, we will indeed give sadaqah, وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and we will certainly be among those who are righteous. Then when He gave them of His bounty, they became stingy, and they turned away averse. What happened was that there was a hypocrite, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, pray for my wealth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned him that, woe betide you, O Saliba. It's far better that you should have less wealth when you are thanking Allah, rather than you should have such a massive amount of wealth that you cannot take care of it. And he said, no, pray for me, and if you pray for me, then I will give so much sadaqah from my wealth. So the Prophet ﷺ prayed for him. And what happened was that his goats started multiplying, and they multiplied so much that eventually he had to leave and move to the outskirts of Medina. Now this kept on happening, his wealth kept on increasing, he had to keep on moving further and further away, until eventually he was only coming for Jummah prayers, and then he even stopped coming for Jummah prayers, because he said, I'm too busy taking care of my wealth. Now what happened was, when the zakat ayat was revealed, and the Prophet ﷺ sent people to him to collect the zakat, he said, I think this seems like jizya to me. He said, well, you collect from everyone else and then come back. When they came back a second time, again he gave the same excuse, and he said, you know, this doesn't seem fair, why are you taking this tax from us? So they went back and told the Prophet ﷺ. And so the Prophet ﷺ cursed him and said, don't take his zakat. And then when he heard about it for the first time, he felt scared, but it was too late by then. He came to the Prophet ﷺ and tried to give zakat, but it was not accepted of him. And later on, the Prophet's successors also did not accept zakat from him. Why was this? Because he had broken his promise, although he was given two chances. Now sometimes we also say, make promises to Allah, Allah, if this happens, I'll read 1,000 nafals, or I'll give so much money for sadaqah. And the minute that trouble is distressed, we're running around seeking fatwas from anyone. Is there any way that we let off those nafals? Firstly, we need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not someone who needs to be bribed, na'uzubillah. We should pray to Allah with sincerity. But if we make a mannat and we make a vow, then we have to fulfill it. Otherwise, the outcome is Allah's wrath. So He punished them by putting hypocrisy into their hearts, till the day whereon they shall meet Him, because they broke that which they had promised to Him. وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, because they used to tell lies. Do they not know that Allah knows their secret ideas and their secret counsels, and that Allah is the all-knower of things unseen? Those who defame such of the believers who give charity voluntarily, and such who could not find to give charity except what is available to them. So they mock at them, Allah will throw back their mockery at them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and for them shall be a painful torment. This refers to a very beautiful incident where we find that this companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who was a poor man, and when the Muslims were collecting wealth for the Battle of Tabuk, he spent an entire night pumping a Jew's well, and in the morning he just earned enough to buy a handful of dates. Now we're not even prepared to sacrifice 1 hour of our time for Allah's sake, and this man spent one night, and in the morning all he earned was enough to buy a handful of dates. And he came and he presented that before the Prophet ﷺ. And such was the Prophet ﷺ's sensitivity that he appreciated this gesture, and he put this handful of dates on top of everything else. And he said, look what this man has brought. And he treated it with love and respect. And there were a group of hypocrites sitting by, and they just started laughing and saying, is this how we're going to conquer Rome? And we find such people in our society, all they know to do is sneer and to jeer at other people. And they'll discourage others and say, what difference do you think you're going to make by one class? Do you think teaching your servants is going to help Islam? Allah says, Allah will throw back their mockery at them. Anyone who derides another human being's effort made sincerely for Allah, they shall have a painful torment. Whether you ask forgiveness for these hypocrites or you do not ask forgiveness for them, and even if you ask 70 times for their forgiveness, فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ, Allah will never forgive them because they have disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. And Allah does not guide those people who are disobedient. Those who stayed away from Tabuk rejoiced in their staying behind the Messenger of Allah. They hated to strive and fight with their properties and their lives in the cause of Allah. And they said, do not march forth in the heat. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. Tell them the fire of hell is more intense than heat. We also make petty excuses. Oh, I'm too tired to go right now. I'm so exhausted at the end of the fast, I don't even have energy for Salat, let alone for Taraweeh. Tell them, the fire of hell is more intense than heat, if only they could understand. In other words, we need jihad for our own salvation. فَلْيَضْحَكُوا قَلِيلًا, let them laugh a little, let them have a good time. وَلْيَبْكُوا كَثِيرًا, and they will cry much. As a recompense of what they used to earn. On the Day of Judgment, Allah won't say, how many degrees did you earn? How many posh jobs did you hold on? How many beautiful houses did you manage to buy? لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man will have nothing but that which he strived for, which he worked, which he actually achieved for Allah's sake. If Allah brings you back to a party of the hypocrites, and they ask your permission to go out to fight, say, never shall you go out with me, no fight an enemy with me. You were pleased to sit on the first occasion. Now you can sit with those who lag behind. وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا, and never pray the funeral prayer for any of them who dies, nor stand at his grave. Certainly they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger, and they died while they were disobedient to Allah. These are the penalties of hypocrisy. Let not their wealth or their children amaze you. Allah's plan is to punish them with these things in this world, and that their souls shall depart while they are disbelievers. We say, well, this isn't fair. Why are those who are sinning always, you know, they are the ones who are living in beautiful houses? Allah says, Allah's plan is to punish them with these things in this world. And when a surah is revealed, enjoining them to believe in Allah and to do jihad, again and again, the theme of jihad, sacrifice your time, do something for Allah. The wealthy among them ask your leave to exempt them from jihad and say, leave us behind. We would be with those who sit at home. They are content to be with those who sit behind. Their hearts are sealed up. When we don't feel like doing jihad for Allah's sake, that's a sign of the hardness of our hearts. So they do not understand. Lakin Rasul, but the Messenger and those who believed with him did jihad. They struggled and fought with their wealth and their lives. Such are they for whom are the good things. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, such are the ones who will be successful. For them Allah has prepared gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is the supreme success. And those who made excuses from the Bedouins came to you, asking your permission to exempt them from the battle. And those who had lied to Allah and His Messenger sat at home. A painful torment will seize those of them who disbelieve. لَيْسَ عَلَى الضُّعْفَاءِ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرْضَى, there is no blame on those who are weak or ill, or who find no resources to spend, if they are sincere and true to Allah and His Messenger. Subhanallah. Allah says, if someone is poor, if someone is crippled or disabled, he can't do anything for Allah's sake, then Allah will not question him about that. But when we look at the early Muslims, we find that such was their fervor. A blind man came forward and said, I want to take part in this battle. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what will you do? He said, I'll hold the flag. That should be our fervor. Whatever I can do, that one drop of water, let me convey that at least. And he was martyred, and they found him still holding the flag. And then another companion, Amr ibn al-Jamuh, who was crippled, lame, and he had four sons, and they were all taking part in the battle. And they said, no, father, you don't take part in the battle, because of their concern for him. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet said, but Amr, you're excused. He said, no, don't you understand? I want to enter Jannah with this lame leg of mine. We have one headache, and we don't even want to look at the Quran. And he said, I want to enter Jannah with this lame leg of mine. No ground of complaint shall be against those who do good, and Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ, nor is there blame on those who came to you to be provided with mounts. When you said, I can find no mounts for you, they turned back with their eyes overflowing with tears of grief that they could not find anything to spend for jihad. Look at their love for Allah. They came to the Prophet ﷺ, desperate, please let us also take part in this honor. And when the Prophet said that, I'm sorry, but there are no more mounts, they turned away with their eyes overflowing with tears. And the Prophet ﷺ said of these people, the gist of which was, there is no valley or river that you crossed, but that they were with us. Allah looks at our hearts. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable of people with you in Allah's eyes are those who are Allah conscious. The ground of complaint is only against those who are rich and yet ask exemption. They are content to be with the women who sit behind at home, and Allah has sealed up their hearts so that they know not. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.